It likely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning as a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from 2SER 107.3 in Sydney, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. The night of night for primaries, Ed. The biggest bunch of elections we'll see until November. We can't talk all of the results, but what are some of the big takeaways?
Well, the biggest takeaway was California dodged a bullet. The California primaries are strange. The top two vote-getters get a chance to run. So a bunch of Democrats ran, and only one or two Republicans. So all the Republicans voted for their people, and the Democratic votes were spread out. As a result, the Democrats almost didn't get a person on the ballot. But it looks like it's turned out all right, and centrist candidates got on in every state. None of the Bernie candidates got on. So it looks like the good guys won this one, will have a big chance in the regular election.
Also a very good night, I understand, for women, especially Democratic women.
Yes, and Republican women. Democratic and Republican women did very well across the country and ran very good campaigns. And Republican women tend to be farther to the left than men. So it was a good night overall for the democracy.
Is it quite the swells of the blue tsunami that some people are hoping for in the 2018 November midterms?
It really depends on what happens between now and then. Trump's numbers are up, but his numbers don't seem to translate to his candidates. Nobody really wants to campaign with him, but nobody wants to deny him. So we'll have to see. These will be local elections. So local matters count, and what the candidate looks like, whether they pick up on a lot of the local issues, anything from school reforms and the like. By the Democrats putting up centrist candidates, the chances of them doing that are pretty good. Had they put up the Bernie candidates, they would have been calling for things that the American people have real questions about, except one, and that is almost everyone wants improvements in Obamacare. So the health issue will be very, very big. And the Republicans are trying to kill the health program. So a Democrat that stands up for good health is going to look good, particularly with the opioid crisis. People want health care, and the opioids mean that people need a lot of health care. And also the jobs picture. The jobs picture is looking worse for middle Americans and farmers because Trump's stance on trade. So those will be the key issues on the national levels. But most of the campaigns will actually be decided by really local issues.
Now, we've also got the G7 summit coming up in Canada. Wanted to talk Trump tariffs. Claims this week allies like Canada, Mexico, and the EU are getting a worse deal on steel and aluminium tariffs than the boogeyman they were originally going to fight, China. What's going on?
Well, the China deal is interesting. It is a personal deal between Trump and the Chinese. Trump will actually receive a lot of bennies from doing business with the Chinese, including some investments in his hotels and things that are overseas. Most people won't see that. What they'll see is there's a deal with China. Also, the Chinese are getting into the U.S. electronics business and radio and television business as a result of this trade deal. And the Chinese are giving up almost nothing. They say they're going to be better on tariffs and the like, but and on IP. But they are not. They're just saying that. There is no indication they're actually going to do it.
And just briefly, North Korea talks still on for June 12th, although Rudy Giuliani claiming North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un begged on his hands and knees for the summit to go ahead when Trump initially cancelled. Seems like an odd way to get negotiations started with such a figure.
Oh, my God. Rudy Giuliani is trying to take over the stage, and Trump's going to kick him off the stage. That was such a dumb thing to say, and absolutely the wrong place to say it. I hope Kim Il-sung is going to be big on this and let it slide. And let's look at this from a more realistic point of view. Kim Il-sung has actually got all he wants. He just has to placate the United States. What is happening behind the scenes? And I think most of us see it, but we don't really understand it. The Chinese have moved in to take over the Pacific. The Pacific Islands, the Pacific corridors into the Indian Ocean, and they're using the Korean fiasco as an opportunity to distract everyone while they do it. So by the President of the United States taking this as a personal issue and not looking at the macro political issues, it may be a win for him, but a loss for the United States.
And some big news in the Mueller investigation this week. Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, has been indicted on attempts to tamper with potential witnesses. It looks very much like the former campaign manager is going to jail. It's quite a scalp. What's your take, Ed?
Well, let's put this what it is. He was witness tampering. He emailed people to say they should say this or that if they were called to testify either before the FBI or in a courtroom. He called people up to tell him what to do. These calls were overheard, of course, and his emails were obtained. And in some cases, the witnesses produced them for the FBI, not wanting to be victims of entrapment. Now, what this means is, since he's out on bail, bail can be canceled. And bail canceling will send him to jail. Now, why does Mueller want to send him to jail? He wants him to give a nice jail test. He gets in jail, and all of a sudden, the idea of spending a year or 2 years or waiting for a commute doesn't look so good. Might as well spill the beans and get out of jail temporarily and get a short sentence in a nice cushy jail than a long sentence, because witness tampering is a 20-year behind the bars, and there's no what do you call that card that you get in a get-out-of-jail card here. When you get in, you cannot get out. The sentence can't be shortened or commuted. And the President of the United States commuting a sentence for jail for witness tampering would really send everyone up the wall. So I think this man is in deep, deep trouble. Now let me end with this. Why is Mueller really interested in this? It is the trail of money. Why did Manafort become the campaign advisor? Was he the mole in the campaign? Was he the guy that let everybody else into that campaign? And when he was fired, they were already on the inside. Think about it.
A very curious one. Manafort, as you say, he's in his late 60s, looking at a 20-year jail sentence. I think that's got to be fairly sobering for anybody. And not to sort of put too much fake news on top of this one, but Donald Trump sort of has a fairly shaky relationship with what he can actually do legally at the moment. There's been talk this week he can pardon himself anyway, even if he's indicted on crimes and basically charged. He can actually indict himself still. It's a long way from denying any crimes took place. Or is it when the president does it, it's not a crime, Ed?
No, the president cannot commute his own sentence or simply write a pardon for himself. Framers of the Constitution did not have that in mind. And if it went to the Supreme Court, they'd simply say that. It says the president may commute the sentences or give clemency to people who've been in prison by U.S. courts. It does not say the president can do this for himself. And if a strict constructionist reads this, they'll say no. And anyone else reading it will say no. Now, what does this really say about the president? It says he's trying to obstruct justice. This is part of the pattern of obstructing justice. The man is walking into his own hole. With Rudy Giuliani as your lawyer, your counselor, I can understand how and why. Giuliani, get out of there before you're both in jail.
Just finally, Ed, are you a football fan at all?
I am.
Well, Trump canceling this week on the Super Bowl winners, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, he's come out and said that their fans deserved better than a planned boycott by what seems to be, well, actually most of the players. He also cited players who knelt on the field for the national anthem as an issue, although that's not something any of the Eagles players have ever actually done. Now, this visit was replaced by a last-minute, rather bizarre celebration of America. Again, this seems like very petty stuff, Ed. How much lower can we go?
Well, yes. The visit to the White House is a visit to the White House, which the president attends. Apparently, 10 players and a number of coaches and other people who work in the organization would have been there. It would have been a big crowd, much bigger than a basketball team. There would have been 25 people there. Will the people outside know the difference between 25 and 50? I don't think so. So the president just did himself damage. He looked small when he could have looked big. The reason the celebration took place is because they couldn't cancel the Air Force flyover and the Marine Band. And so he just changed the name of the event. It just looks petty. It looks stupid. It looks idiotic. Why can't the man figure it out? He's president of the United States. That's everybody in the United States, not just Mr. Trump.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3. Help support the work we do by heading to 2SER.com/donate. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date. And show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.